So this servant in Isaiah that we heard about from the scripture passage, Isaiah 49, the servant has had enough. Nothing's going right. He says, I have labored in vain. Surely I have spent my strength for nothing. Wow. You ever felt that way? Futility. And then he hands his letter of resignation to God. I'm ready to give up. I'm done. Can you relate? I think you can. People dealing with the loss of loved ones. Shocking stories of we've heard from recently. Can you imagine? People facing surgery. People dealing with health problems. A friend of mine now struggling with cancer. And for all of us, there's just this daily grind, you know? It's tough sometimes. Times when it seems to me everybody I know is struggling. We come to church on Wednesday nights and we share prayer concerns, and I guarantee you there's always something new. Something new that we're praying for. Veteran minister friend tells me he sees more and more people now who are bottomed out, burned out, depressed than he's ever seen before. What's going on? I asked him, he said, I don't know. I just knew what he meant. And what I've discovered is that the struggle for most of us is hidden. I mean, we don't tell people about it. We're not talking about it. We just deal with it, you know? It's usually a secret. And most of us also think that we're the only ones. The only ones dealing with this stuff. I'll bet some of you think there's something uniquely wrong with you. Everybody else seems to have it together. Everybody else seems to be strong. Everybody else seems to be brave. Everybody else. And I'm the only one. I'm the only one struggling. But let me tell you, if I were to ask for a raise of hands, I'm not going to. You would be very surprised to discover you are not the only one. You're in good company. Welcome to church. It's where we belong. And there is this uncommon understanding that if you are a Christian, you have it all together. On the contrary, we don't have it all together. We're working on it. If you could get inside your hero's head, what you would discover is that all of us have struggles in some capacity and in some way. Even the servant of God, look at the description of the servant of God. In Isaiah 49, He's got his head in his hands. And folks, let me just tell you, you're not just seeing a bad day after a good day. You're seeing inside of him. You're looking at who he really is, and you're looking at the struggle that he's going through, the struggle beneath the outer success. Just like you, just like me, he's sighing and he's saying, I have spent my strength. I am tired. I want to give up. Can you imagine Jesus of Nazareth, our Savior, your Savior, mine, Jesus of Nazareth ever saying such a word to God? Guess what? The servant in Isaiah 49, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. I'm tired. I've spent my strength. I've done all the work I can do, and it doesn't seem to be mattering at all. Nobody gets it. Nobody. Nobody. I have spent my strength for nothing. This tired, discouraged servant is Jesus. Nobody else may know, but Jesus does. Jesus knows how you feel. Jesus knows exactly how you feel. In fact, the writer of Hebrews is adamant about this. He says, Hebrews 4:15 in your scripture, for we have no high priest to whom our weaknesses are unintelligible. He himself has shared fully in all our experiences of temptation, except that he never sinned. Look at the wording. He himself, not an angel, not an ambassador, not an emissary, Jesus himself shared fully, not partially, not nearly, not to a large degree, entirely. Jesus shared fully in all our experiences. Every hurt, every ache, all the stress, all the failures, all the pain, no exceptions, no substitutes. And as you read the Gospels, it becomes clear. It was his own hometown in the Gospels who rejected him. His own people. Can you imagine how eager Jesus must have been to go and speak to his own people? The neighbors he looked up to as a child, how glad he must have been to go home, and they told him, no. They said to him, who do you think you are? We know who you are. Little kid that grew up here. And they closed their doors. Now I want you to know something about Jesus. And this is true. His rejection at Nazareth. Through his life. Jesus never forced himself on anybody. He doesn't go where he's not invited. Okay? So if you don't invite him in, he's not going to force his way into your life. He's not going to. That's love. We don't go where we're not invited. And if you say to Jesus, you're not welcome here, okay. That's tough, isn't it? It's hard for us. We think Jesus should knock the door down. He stands at the door and knocks. But folks, you got to open the door. You've got to invite him in. And if you don't, he's not going to knock down the door. He'll stay out. It's true for churches too. I like to talk, used to be consultant for churches and talk to them about growing, and I had a lot of churches tell me, we love for new people to come. And I would say to them, you do. Oh yes, we love for new people to come. How do you treat new people when they come? Oh, well, we just kind of let them wander in. They find their own way and figure things out. And you say you want to grow? Are you welcoming and inviting and encouraging and supportive and friendly? And are you doing the things that you know Jesus would want you to do in order to be the people that Jesus would have you to be? And this is another thing. Jesus won't knock down our doors either. And if you want to be the growing, inviting, and welcoming church that God wants for you to be, He will happily help that to happen. If, on the other hand, you don't really want to grow, you kind of like the people you know, the ones you're sitting next to, He will still grow His church. May not be this church, but He will grow His church. Right? God's work will be done somewhere. And I say, why not here? Why not us? Let's invite Christ into our church in ways we never have before. How about it? Let's open the doors and be more like Jesus would have us to be. Isn't that a good prayer? Now, He wants you to know, Jesus does, that He knows how you feel, and He wants you to come to Him, but we have to make the move. Remember His words, come to me all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus will give you peace and rest, all that you need, but Jesus won't force Himself on you. And Mark says Jesus couldn't do a deed of power in Nazareth, and he adds he was amazed by their unbelief. Jesus was caught by surprise. The idea that these people he loved would refuse to accept his love. And so he left. He left town shaking his head with every reason to say, I've spent my strength here for nothing. How many times afterward did he feel that old familiar catch in the throat? We're shown this awful scene late in his ministry where he stands on a hill at night overlooking Jerusalem, and he bows his head and he cries. He weeps like a child, and he says, how often I would have gathered you, like a hen gathering her chicks, but you wouldn't let me. I've spent my strength for nothing. And then after he'd been beaten senseless and had nails driven through his hands and through his feet, the very people who wouldn't have him lifted him up on a cross to face the city that he'd cried over. And to him, not a single soul gets it. Even his disciples, they all ran away. And he dies now for what? And he cries from the cross. Do you remember? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You've even left me. You see, people, every page of the Gospels hammers home this critical truth. God knows, God knows, God knows how you feel. He knows your pain. He knows exactly how you feel. He knows, and He's longing for you to come to Him. Do you want to have someone to talk to who knows how you feel? Well, He knows. He knows how you feel. From the funeral to the factory to the frustrations of a demanding schedule, Jesus understands it all fully. When you tell God that you've reached your limit, He knows what you mean. And when you shake your head at impossible deadlines, He shakes His too. When you look at the failed dreams of your life, He knows how you feel. He's been there too. He even died for you on a cross. And He longs for you to come to Him. How many times have I heard people say, I don't know how I'd make it without God. I really don't know. I don't know how I'd make it. I don't know how I'd make it. So come and receive what God has to give to the weary, to the broken. Come to the sanctuary and pray and renew your faith and restore your strength and find His peace and find the courage to get back out there and face it again. Get into the world again. That's what God wants for us. Did you hear the rest of the passage from Isaiah? I have labored in vain. Surely I spent my strength for nothing. And yet, hear this, and yet, surely my cause is with the Lord, and my God will become my strength. I can make it, and I will, with God's help. I will. So come here and worship the Savior who knows suffering better than anybody else. Come here and put your lives, your whole lives, your discouragement, your pain, your sorrow, your failure, put it all into God's hands. That's what He's inviting you to do. And that's what we must do. My cause is with the Lord. I'm going to give it all to You, God. You know me better than anybody else. You know what I'm going through. I'm giving it to You. My cause is with the Lord. And I'm going to trust that the God who knows my pain will help me to get through this. Late one night, a pastor friend of mine went to stand by a woman who was in distress in a hospital. Her son was hovering between life and death. He'd been in a car accident that afternoon, now in critical condition. And in the next room, her husband, when he found out he had a heart attack. Son in one room, husband in the other. And that night, it wasn't clear whether either one of them was going to live. How'd you like to make that visit? This is what she said. I don't understand this. This is hard to bear. And then she told him this. But I won't pass judgment on things yet. Not until God gets through with all of this. Not giving up. I'm not giving up. That's faith. Voice that says, this is hard to bear, but I won't pass judgment on this yet, not until God gets through with this. Faith knows that God isn't through yet. God's not done yet. He wasn't through with Jesus, was He? Was He? This means yes, this means no. This is first time I usually ask, you know, I say this means yes and this means no. Usually it's yes. This time it's no. Was God through with Jesus?
No.
No. God's not done yet. For all the world, and for the disciples, and for everybody else, did it look like God was done? Jesus died on the cross. It's done. It is finished. Right? No. I'm not done yet. It's not finished, even then. So your life may be full of pain or failure or sin, but God is not through with you, not yet. He will give you comfort in the pain. He will give you peace in the failure. He will give you grace for the sin. He is not through with you yet. And say the words with Jesus if you want to. I am tired. I'm weak. I've spent my strength. But say the rest of it. Have the courage to say the rest of it. Surely my cause is with God. God understands. God knows how I feel. And God's going to be my strength. And I'm going to have the courage to face what I have to face to get through this. And see your life entirely in a new way. Enveloped, surrounded by the love of God. God will never, ever let go of you. So don't you ever let go of God. You hold on. And keep the faith. And when all the safety nets are gone and you've fallen through every single one of them, folks, you can't fall farther than God can catch you. And God will surely be there. Sometimes all the lights really do go out, you know, folks. We find ourselves in the darkness and we take hold of this hand, and it's unseeable, but it's strong, and it's going to hold you, and it's going to get you through, bring you home. So this is what you do in your darkness. You make your pain a prayer. You hold your silence like a cup before God, and you let God have it. You go to Him, and you put yourself in His hands and say, surely my cause is with God. Surely, God, you understand. Surely, God, you will be my strength. Years ago, there was a man named Thomas Dorsey. He was in St. Louis, Missouri, when news came of his family sorrow. His wife and his daughter had both died when his house was on fire. He lost his house, and he lost his wife, and he lost his daughter. And he's in St. Louis, and they were in Chicago, and he got on a train to go home. And on the train, he wrote these words. Right there in the darkness, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me home. So may it be. Let us pray. God, this is our need and this is our prayer in the night. Hold us, lead us, bring us home. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.